This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer.
The Franklin Fire, the latest from KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Santana winds are back, and we've got red flag warnings through tomorrow evening. Though crews have made a lot of progress in the Franklin Fire, there are concerns that these new winds could help it spread. Pete Matrio joins us live in Malibu with more.
Rob, 2 hours ago, it was dead calm out here. Now we've got sustained winds of 25 to 30 miles an hour. The rumbling you're hearing in the background, well, that's a Type 3 fire engine from Cal Fire. There are five of them here as part of a strike team. Between them, they've got almost 3,000 gallons of water. They're standing by, crews inside ready to move. If there are any outbreaks of fire along the Franklin Fire front or areas which haven't burned, these are the trucks that are going to go in there, and they're going to do their best to try to knock down any kind of fire that would get started. And is that possible? Yes. Well, there's no active fire front. They are still building containment lines around it. Here's the problem. You've got hot spots all the way through that 4,000-acre area, which was the Franklin Fire footprint. If winds like this, 30, 40 miles an hour above, pick these embers up, propel them 200, 500, 1,000 yards or more into fresh fuel. With these kind of winds pushing it, any kind of an ignition point, you're going to get a fire going quickly. If that happens, the first thing that's going to happen is they'll spot it. If they've got a loom up or other kind of smoke, the first thing that'll hit it is probably going to be firehawks, which are based not that far from here, 1,000-gallon capacity each. The firehawks will go in, do their work to hit it, and these engines, like the ones that are behind me, are going to be the ones that follow up and camp crews behind them. It's a question of throwing assets at a fire if they break out anywhere along this area. And looking along Pacific Coast Highway, I'm counting 7, 8, 9, 10 more Type 3 engines. They are all patrolling and getting into position or pre-positioning all along Pacific Coast Highway. And the unlikely or likely possibility that you could have some kind of a fire here tonight. They're hoping it doesn't happen, but they're staged in place and ready to move if it does. Rob?
All right, thanks, Pete.
LA County DA Nathan Hochman making some new comments on the Menendez brothers as they try to get released after 35 years in prison. He tells NBC News he does not see the brothers, now 54 and 56, as a package deal who should be treated the same.
While they're called the Menendez brothers case, there's an Eric Menendez case and a Lyle Menendez case. There's actually two different victims. There's a Jose Menendez, the father, and Kitty Menendez, the mother. So we will look at each case separately.
They got this question from NBC anchor Lester Holt.
Do you wish this was not on your desk?
Do I wish it was not on my desk? You know what? You're dealt the cards you're dealt with in this life. And the Menendez card has been dealt. It's a card that we will deal with.
Hochman says he is still studying the case before the next court hearing on January 30th. He also reveals at least one person in the DA's office has been taken off of the case. Former DA George Gascon said he thought the brothers should be resentenced. Hochman has not expressed an opinion on that yet. And stay tuned. We're going to speak live with a former federal prosecutor about this in just a few minutes. A new law takes effect tomorrow aimed at dealers who sell tainted drugs, which are killing people. Emily Valdez reports.
It's named after Alexandra Capoluto, a Southern California college student who died around Christmas 5 years ago after taking half of a pill she thought was Percocet. It was actually fentanyl. Matt Capoluto was her father.
It doesn't necessarily cancel out her death, but it makes the holiday season a little more tolerable.
Capoluto says they modeled the law after California's DUI law.
So what Alexandra's law does, it provides an admonishment to anybody convicted of a hard drug offense, makes them aware. It's read to them in court by a judge, an admonishment that explains the dangers of drugs and that they can result in death. And if you are part of that drug activity and it results in somebody's death, you can be charged with murder.
Voters passed Alexandra's law in November. It's part of Prop 36.
A local emergency has been declared at Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall on Downey. The declaration by the LA County Supervisors came after a lot of strong opposition. Karen Adams has more.
Aye. Supervisor Hunt? Aye. Supervisor Barker?
Aye.
The disapproval is clear over the declaration, which comes after the probation department missed the state's deadline to close Los Padrinos, deeming it unsuitable for youth because of staffing issues. Supervisor Lindsay Horvath voted against the declaration.
I believe this motion reinforces
young people being subjected to unsafe conditions, not accountability.
She says for nearly 2 years, the probation department has failed to fix the problems at Los Padrinos. Supervisor Catherine Barger, who introduced the declaration, says it will give probation what it needs to address the facility's many shortfalls.
It essentially cuts a lot of red tape and gives the probation department more flexibility. It directs the county's human resources department to activate disaster service workers so more employees can work at Los Padrinos based on their skills and their training. It empowers the county's human resources staff to offer recruitment bonuses up to $24,000 for lateral transfers from external departments.
She says the officers have just not been showing up to work. Many at the meeting say the PO should be fired and called for Los Padrinos to be shut down and the youth there released.
Nonstop News at 5 is presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Back now to comments from L.A. County D.A. Nathan Hochman on the bid for freedom by the Menendez brothers. He tells NBC News the request for resentencing by Eric and Lyle should not be treated in exactly the same way.
So we will look at each case separately, which is the way they actually should be handled.
For more on this, we're joined live now by former federal prosecutor Nima Rahmani, president of West Coast Trial Lawyers based here in L.A. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So what do you make of the statement from the DA that that one brother could possibly be freed while the other one stays in?
I know Nathan. I used to work with him at the L.A. City Ethics Commission. He's fair, and this is what he has to say. But this is really a distinction without a difference. Either both Eric and Lyle will be released or neither will be released. Now, the argument does make sense with respect to self-defense, because obviously if they were abused by their father, Jose, it's a much tougher argument with respect to Kitty, their mother. But if you're releasing them because of the interest of justice, because they've been model inmates for the past 35 years, really Eric and Lyle have essentially been the same in California State Prison.
Does Hochman saying this, though, today give us any indication which way he is leaning? He hasn't kind of related his opinion yet, as George Gascon did, that he thought the brothers should be resentenced.
Hochman has not. He's really played his cards very close to the vest, both during the election and after. I thought he would come out sometime pretty soon and make his position clear. Now, the defense has argued that because George Gascon initiated this process, Hochman can't pull it back. I'm not so sure. We're in uncharted legal waters here, but he has about a month or so before he has to file that paperwork and either oppose the resentencing request, go along with it, or recommend something else entirely.
Does politics play any part of this? Because George Gascon, one of the things that he tried to hit towards the end of the election there was the fact that he thought the brothers should be resentenced, and yet voters in L.A. rejected him soundly and elected Nathan Hochman. Does that factor into Nathan Hochman's thinking?
Politics absolutely plays a part in this. And let's not forget, the initial habeas petition was filed by the Menendez brothers in early to mid-2023. It was only a month or two before the election when Gascon was trailing badly, and the Netflix series Monsters came out, and the Menendez brothers were very popular, that this became a political issue. We know we've gone through some district attorney changes here in Los Angeles, Jackie Lacey, George Gascon, now Nathan Hochman. This is the first big decision he has to make as district attorney, and there are people on both sides that have very strong views on this. There's some that think the brothers or victims of sex abuse, and they should be released. And others think that they're murderers who should have gotten the death penalty, and they're lucky to still be alive in prison.
Do you think this is going to factor into Nathan Hochman wanting to be seen as very, very different from his predecessor?
I think so. I mean, obviously, George Gascon was criticized, even by folks on the left, for being soft on crime. And if Hochman's first move is to release the Menendez brothers, and look, my position is if they truly were victims of sex abuse at the hands of their father and their mother was complicit in covering up, I do believe that 35 years is a fair and just sentence. They should be released. But there are many people that think that shooting your father 6 times, your mother 10 times with a shotgun, that's vigilante justice. That is not a reason to be freed. I think he will start getting criticism from conservatives for being soft like his predecessor, George Gascon.
All right. Former federal prosecutor Nima Romani, president of West Coast Trial Lawyers based in L.A. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Major changes in immigration policy could be coming with Trump headed back to the White House. We're going to go in depth on what that means on Nonstop News at 5. We are going to see some big changes in immigration policy in the new year with the incoming Trump administration promising mass deportations and a move to get rid of birthright citizenship. A lot of those changes included in a report from the Conservative Heritage Foundation. Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero got more on Countdown 2024 from the foundation's Laura Reese, who heads their Border Security and Immigration Center.
You know, where it gets tricky, I think, here, Laura, is very few people would probably argue with people who are here in this country illegally and have committed crimes that they should be escorted out one way or the other of the country. Where it does get very tricky is when you deal with things like children whose parents were here illegally, not their fault, but they grew up in this country. This is the only country they know. You must have some empathy with that.
It is a sympathetic group, but we've got a phenomenon now since 2008 of unaccompanied alien children where, unfortunately, by design, they were enticed here with the promise of immigration benefits for crossing the border unaccompanied. I was on the Hill working when this bill was first introduced by California Representative Zoe Lofgren and Senator Dianne Feinstein. And it was clear to me that all this would do would entice more unaccompanied border crossings, thereby making it more dangerous for children. And that's exactly what happened after it passed in 2008. The numbers of unaccompanied children have skyrocketed. Just under the Biden administration, we've had at least 540,000 unaccompanied children, over 300,000 of whom the Department of HHS has lost track of. And this was supposed to be about combating the trafficking of children, and it has been an abject failure. We need to repeal that section of the law that dangles immigration benefits if you cross unaccompanied as a child. It's simply and yet, you know, years later, then many will say, well, we should give them green cards because they came as unaccompanied children. Well, that's how that was designed. It's absolutely perverse.
Are you concerned, because some people are, a lot of people are, about this notion that in order to implement this, there might be, as Mr. Trump has said, the use of U.S. military, and it's not clear in what capacity on U.S. soil?
Yeah, the military has long been used to supplement along the border, whether it is logistics or facilities or a number of capacities. And so that's not new. The military was involved, for example, when we had the awful evacuation out of Kabul and brought many Afghan evacuees straight to the U.S., and they were located at least temporarily on military bases. So, you know, nothing novel there.
Countdown 2024 airs on KNX News, 2:30 weekday afternoons, weeknights at 8. It's also available on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Rough day on Wall Street today. The Dow closed down 268, the S&P down 23, and NASDAQ down 65. And now the business of entertainment.
TKO Group, the company behind Ultimate Fighting Championship and World Wrestling Entertainment, is set to see a sales surge as more fans scoop up tickets to its live events worldwide.
Welcome!
WrestleMania, SmackDown, Royal Rumble, and UFC pay-per-view are just a few examples, which bring in roughly $500 million in annual revenue. If demand continues to grow, Bloomberg Intelligence reports its yearly revenue stream can increase to $650 million by 2027. How? First, by expanding its events to more cities, as UFC and WWE get paid by local governments looking to host events. Next, ticket prices. Right now, pay-per-view UFC events are typically underpriced, and WWE event prices are cheaper than Broadway shows and theme parks. By introducing dynamic pricing and premium VIP experiences, ticketing revenue will likely increase over time. I'm Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo, KNX News 97.1 FM.
That's your Nonstop News 5, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.